Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's latest book is Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. He was able to come into the studios this morning around 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and we were able to tape a conversation with him, and we'll play back part of that conversation on our Saturday show. But I'm just going to give you a hint of it here, because in the studio is Mike Pokrifke. He's our new video guy. I just put duh in there for you, Elif. Elif Garris, my producer, and I, and we were setting up for the interview and recording it as the interview got rolling.
You could just use your iPhone to film, you know.
Yeah, but it would
make you feel important that you got a big old heavy camera. Yeah.
Oh, it's not on your thing here. On Wiki, it has your kids' names, one of whom is named after a moon from Uranus. Is that right, or something like that?
Yeah, moon of Uranus. Yeah. Right, right. You thought my kids' names would be in a book? Why would you think that?
Because I was thinking sometimes in the bio here, they have the little
yeah, thing. No, I just, you know, why should you care what the name of my kids are?
Because it's pretty cool that you named them after a moon.
One of them after a moon.
Hey, Elif. Okay, so you're rolling now, right?
I assume they're laying down electrons somewhere rather than rolling anything. Just to get with the century.
You can't help yourself, can you?
But there's no good word for it, so I admit there's no good word.
So anytime somebody says, are you taping this, do you immediately correct
I say,
them?
Are you recording it?
Recording it, right.
Right.
Are you laying down
That's a
electrons?
Good word. That's a good word. But
recording.
Rolling. You know,
rolling, nothing's rolling here. We're just digitizing. We're just ones and zeros.
I'll highlight it, but I won't fight it. Yeah. Here's another one. You ready? So when you're on the air, the radio waves don't need air at all. They just need the vacuum of space. So it's really, are you on space? Air is irrelevant.
You're on the air. It was always going to perturb you a little bit. You're not on the
always.
Air. So
right.
What would be, so when I say Neil, well, I'm going to hit the button and put a call on. I'm going to say, Neil, you're what? You're propagating in the vacuum?
Exactly. See? That's right. So I guess my point is, it's not so much that I care what words people use. I want people to know that the word no longer applies or never did apply. Then you can keep using it.
Yeah.
If you
speaking
so
of
it's knowledge of you know the just is situational awareness of vocabulary.
Yeah. Right. 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 Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're all creatures of habit.
In fact, we all use the word "give me a call" when, of course, that word predates telephones, and you would have a gentleman caller at your front door.
Right.
And when the telephone got invented, we needed a way to say that someone was putting their voice through this machine.
Yeah.
And so they used the, they took the word from the visitor to your front door to apply to what you're doing.
Wasn't it, I read once that they, when people first picked up the phone then, they said, well, how will you initiate the communication?
Yeah, there was no obvious way to do that. Yeah.
What do you say? And so it was like, ahoy was going to be one of the things because that's the way a ship would call to another ship. What's going on there, Elif?
Mike's ready.
Mike is ready? Okay, Mike, so you tell me, when are you rolling? Okay, so we can begin. Neil deGrasse Tyson is in our studios here at WGN Radio. This is his book. It is called Neil deGrasse Tyson, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry.
No, it's called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, and I happen to be the author of it, even though they made the name big.
No, I think that
I didn't need my name that big.
Really? You had no say over the cover of this?
There are subtle changes to the cover from what its original design, and I didn't want my name that big, but they, you know, the salespeople win.
And what does this tell you, the fact that your name is bigger than the topic here?
I don't
know. It should trouble you, my friend.
It does. It does. It does.
Because isn't that saying that you are the star and it's not astrophysics that is the star?
Yes. However, when I give public talks,
yeah,
I come to learn, because I take a vote, not a vote, I take a show of hands each time. I say, how many people know what the subject of my talk is tonight? And very few people know.
Well,
so they're just coming to hear me,
yeah,
like whatever I'm going to say.
Well, but that
so
must,
that's very flattering.
I should say, that would be encouraging, because I'll bet they, while they don't know maybe what you're going to say about astrophysics, or even that you're going to talk about astrophysics, they know you're a scientist, and that you are going to make palatable and understandable and enjoyable to them science.
Something about science.
Something
so
about science.
They come for that, no matter what the subject is. So I'm deeply moved when I learn this. And I think this cover jacket design is a literary counterpart to the fact that people would come to a talk
Is there a favorite part of the book, though, where you go, I'm so jazzed that I'm writing this notion and communicating this fun factoid or concept to people? Like, what's your favorite part of your book?
It's the 12th chapter. It's a curated collection of content that I think will blow your mind. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's what you talk about. So here's some of the things that blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the book, you just remind us that everything that the universe is, from a Starbucks down the corner to the reaches of the universe, started as a dot 1 trillionth the size of the period at the end of this sentence. I love that.
Right.
I love that.
Right. But before you got to that sentence, you had to read like one of the front pages of the book, where I just had to set you up and say, the universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. And so now I can tell you this, and you could say, gee, that doesn't make sense. Fine. The universe doesn't give a rat's ass.
Okay?
It is what it is.
But do you bother yourself with what happened before the dot exploded and how the dot got there?
Bother would imply that it somehow affected me emotionally, but no. Yeah, it's an interesting curiosity. It's a frontier of science.
Well, it is.
What was around before the dot?
Sure.
Yeah.
And why did it explode?
And we've got top people working on it. Yeah.
I'll bet we don't. I'll bet we don't, because that's unanswerable, right?
No. You can't say what's unanswerable.
Yeah, my bad.
By the way, was it in Job? A part of the Bible where, you know, there's Job being basically terrorized by God. And then God comes in and says, how dare you question my motives? I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then gives a list of things that no one in the day could really explain. And that was the evidence of God's handiwork, right? And so you read that list, and in the day, it was completely mysterious to everybody. So it's a fascinating list of the frontier of human understanding of nature. And now we've got about 3/4 of what's on that list.
So do you think someday we will resolve the issue I just brought up?
Yeah, I'm just saying that I will not put myself in a situation where I end up saying something is unknowable.
Yeah, but this would be the one, right? I mean,
why?
Well, because
you could have said the origin of the earth is unknowable because no one was around at the time. No, we got that one. Origin of the sun was unknowable because there wasn't even an earth. No, we got that one.
Yeah.
Right? Because we see other stars, that how they're born, stars just like the sun. So I'm not going to say that. I'm just not. That you could say it, and then you go on and take on another task, leaving that question to be solved by others who retain the curiosity for that answer.
Yeah, well, I'm not arguing with you. and I am curious about it, and I will leave that task to other people, and maybe humans will someday resolve
it. We got top people working on it.
But I don't.
Because we might not even know what the right question is to ask, whose answer would then give us insight into that question.
Okay, here's another thing that kind of blew my mind in your book, and that is the whole discussion about dark matter and the vacuum.
It gets its own chapter. But by the way, these are terms that I presume you've seen or smelled as headlines went by. Exoplanet, dark matter, dark energy, Big Bang, multiverse. So this book is a summation. I think of it as a consummation of whatever a person's curiosity for the universe might be with the universe itself.
See, when you say consummation, that's sexy. That's good.
That's consummation.
See, there it is.
You got to say it right.
That's why you sold 3,000 seats in Chicago. You're doing a show.
The Chicago Theater, yeah.
On stage for thousands of people who are paying $30 to $100 plus dollars to watch you talk about science.
Yeah. In fact, I don't even want to call it a show because I'm not singing or dancing or anything.
And nobody's interviewing you.
Nobody's interviewing me. It's basically a lecture. It's a lecture.
Yeah.
Don't
put that on the ticket or in the marketing materials. Don't put that on the book jacket because you'll sell fewer. Neil lectures you about physics. Or
no, I'd like to change the tone that the word lecture has. We go through school knowing that you have to attend a lecture and you have to do homework. And for some reason, in our K through 12 or K through 16, we come out of that thinking that the task of having to learn something is arduous and something that you don't want, and you want to escape as quickly and as efficiently as possible, so that on the last day of school, that people run down the steps of their high school on the last day, toss their notes in the air, say, summer, school's out, summer's here, I've graduated, as though becoming more enlightened was the worst thing that happened in their life.
Right.
So I don't blame the kids. Something is wrong in the educational system where at the end of school, students aren't saying, I don't want to start summer. I want to stay in class and continue to learn. That's your only job, is to learn, and somehow people don't want to do that. So I want to change people's attitudes towards the word lecture. But I know it's going to be hard, because if someone starts, what do we say? Stop lecturing me. I don't want to do your homework. You know, those two words are bad outside of school. I want to change that.
I want to go back to dark matter.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that I see in the physical universe, I understand is matter, and it applies to the laws of physics.
Matter and energy, yeah.
Yeah, right. And you said, though, that even more than there is that is this dark matter
stuff. Six times more.
Six times more, right. And so if I wave my arm...
Can I say it more cleanly?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's called dark matter,
yeah.
Which implies that it's matter, but we don't even know what it is. So we had no right to call it that. It's historic, and we kept it. It's really dark gravity. There is six times as much gravity manifested as we can account for, adding up all the matter and energy that we know and love.
Okay, so as I wave my hand in space in front of me right now,
yeah.
Am I swooshing around a bunch of dark, invisible products or things or energies or something? Is it right here in this room, dark matter?
Yeah, but it's not very much of it.
Right, but is there more of that in the universe than there is stuff, right?
Six times more. 6 times more.
But then if there's 6 times more of it and I can see the Earth and the Moon and the stars, why can't I see it?
Oh, great question. Because the dark matter not only doesn't interact with us, with our electrons, protons, neutrons, electromagnetic forces, not only does it not interact with us, it doesn't much interact with itself. And the only way you can get a solid object is if the matter interacts with itself to make molecules. They're forces that keep you together, and rather than have you collapse as a pile of goo
right.
under the influence of gravity. That's why you can stand up and walk, resisting the entire gravity of all of Earth.
So
because you are held together by electromagnetic forces, and there's no such counterpart in dark matter. So it's very diffuse throughout the universe.
Would it be safe to imagine it as though flinty little dusty things?
Okay, so you know, if you want the over or under on this, if you're betting a physicist better, you would say...
And I am.
You would say that dark matter is a new class of particle, therefore it would be matter, that has very low cross-section of interaction with us.
And is small, super-duper small.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, have we ever detected it?
So there are people who suspect that we might be able to detect one out of some stupendously large number of these dark matter particles in a very rare atomic transition that would go on in the nucleus of an atom. And so
we haven't done that yet, though.
Well, they've attempted it, but no one's found it.
We got people working on that, too.
I got people.
He's got people working on that. Neil deGrasse Tyson. By the way, that's the third time I've heard that interview today. I did it once. We cut up some of the audio. Now I just listened back to it again. And only now am I starting to grasp what he was even talking about to me. But that business of dark matter is fascinating. And he's really good at it. The video of that conversation in its entirety is going to be posted at WGNradio.com, you'll be able to see that probably by this time tomorrow. I had a couple of cameras in there that he was making fun of as we started the interview. And he is speaking to a sold-out crowd at the Chicago Theater tonight. Tickets are from $30 to $100. And nobody's interviewing him. He said, there's no Steinway piano. I'm just going to come out and talk.
Does he do an encore?
That's right. And then he comes back out. They go, black holes, black holes, do black holes.
What do you hold up to bring a physicist back out?
dark matter.
Right.
Dark matter.